I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So for over 100 years, the United States has had a law on the books prohibiting the import of goods made with forced labor. This is common sense, and we've enforced this law to prohibit it. What seems like common sense, I think, to you and me, others haven't done. In other countries, no one really has these types of laws. And even in that small handful of countries that have them, they don't really enforce it. And so we have gone to the world over, frankly, over years and across administrations to try to get other countries to act on this. Finally, we have put our foot down and we have told countries, you need to take action. You need to prohibit the import of goods made with forced labor, and you need to enforce these laws so that we all have a level playing field. And so we're taking action to do that. And if countries are on the right path, they have a certain level of tariff, about 10%. And if they're not on the right path, it's a slightly higher tariff of 12.5%.
So there you have our Ambassador Greer speaking out about what we're going to deal with on these laws on the books that we've had prohibiting the import of goods made with forced labor. And we're going to hit them with tariffs. U.S. State Trade Representative Jamison Greer announcing tariffs on 60 economies for their failure to impose and effectively enforce a prohibition on the importation of goods produced with forced labor. Now, again, he said, we've had this ban on for nearly 100 years, but Trump is going to rigorously enforce it. It's well past time to do so. And again, I don't hear the left calling out support. The left, obviously, rightly so, as we all should be, against slavery. And yet they went along with Biden to open the borders and let cartels bring kids across and women. And they were forced into sex slavery. The State Department, under a headline, said, "What is modern slavery? Forced labor, sometimes then referred to as labor trafficking, encompassing the range of activities, recruiting, harboring, transporting, providing, obtaining, involved when a person was using force or physical threat, coercion, abuse, deception, or other means to make someone work." And again, we're the left that say Trump is all about being king and making everybody subject to him. He is trying to free people, remove legitimate shackles that exist even today, just as surely as the shackles were on slaves who were brought to this country. And the part of our history that we cannot ignore, but it's there as a reminder, and yet we've still evolved to this point. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, when we're on the air Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., we are going to be giving you not just news, analysis, commentary, but education. You're going to leave each hour with more information than you have right now as we begin the hour. And later, a subject that has a lot of folks confused. Maybe they've already taken a side, or maybe they're not sure what side they're on. Maybe they just don't have enough information, or maybe they're getting bad information. The good, the bad, the ugly. Regarding data centers, coming up in our next segment. Of course, we also had this issue that was resolved by the Supreme Court the other day, saying that illegals can be in our country, can make a point to come into our country and have a baby, so-called anchor babies, and they automatically get U.S. citizenship. That was built off the 14th Amendment. At that time, intended to make sure slaves who were brought here against their will and had children, that their children could be U.S. citizens because they were born on this soil. But it's been abused lately, and more so, especially with the open border policy. And now we're trying to turn it around and right the ship on that point. So Indiana Senator Banks says, you look at what the court did and what the dissenting justices stated, there's a way for us to maybe again reinforce and get rid of born on soil citizenship.
This Supreme Court decision a few weeks ago will go down as one of the worst decisions, certainly of my lifetime, if not the worst of all. That's a direct attack on American sovereignty. I think most Democrats in America, I know all Republicans in America, anyone with common sense understands that the babies of illegals in our country should not be granted birthright citizenship. That was never the intent of the 14th Amendment. So my bill is simple. It just makes this point that the tens of millions of illegals who have flooded into our country because of Joe Biden and the Democrats are invaders into our country. We've declared Nazi spies, terrorists, pirates as invaders into our country before, but all of that pales in comparison to what the Democrats have allowed to happen to this country with tens of millions of illegals, and 250,000 babies are born every year to these invaders, to these illegals that are immediately given birthright citizenship. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen. The Supreme Court, it was a bad ruling, but Justice Kavanaugh, in his opinion, even though he was on the wrong side of the ruling, he said that Congress can act here and do what I'm proposing, declare an invasion, and then make it clear in the law as an act of Congress that babies of invaders are not eligible for birthright citizenship. I introduced the bill last week. It's growing in support. Some of my colleagues in the House are introducing the same bill in the House. Let's pass it, make it clear, and save our country from this continuing to happen in the future.
Do not look for the left to support this, obviously. They're all about more babies coming in, born here, going back to their countries to maybe return in the future as an adult. And again, what country we have left 20 years from now, they will again destroy. But then again, maybe we'll have created enough of a stronghold that that's not going to take place. But they are invaders. They are invaders. Now, the door was open for them by Joe Biden to come on across the border. There was no border. There was no security. Thank you, Joe Biden. Now there is. Now, of course, there's still tourism, birthism. We're in the upper echelon of Russia and China. The oligarchs can make sure they get their pregnant women here through a tourist visa, just basically to have their baby born on this soil. No, the left is going to do everything it can to protect the illegals, the invaders. Perfect example, Virginia Governor Spanberger, again, cooperating with the immigration idea that everyone should be able to come and go as they want in this country. We don't really need any damn border. There was a Mexican national accused of sexually assaulting a toddler in her state. And the assistant DHS secretary pointed out this horrific tragedy was completely avoidable because this illegal alien should never have been in our country. In other words, an invader. But then when ICE went to arrest this illegal and charged with assaulting the child, she was 2 years old. She was 2 years old. And this illegal accused of assaulting her. And we were going to arrest him and get him out of the country, but Virginia Governor Spanberger stepped forward to help protect him. Spokesman for Spanberger says, "We are protecting Virginia's children." No, you're not. No, you're not. And of course, in the meantime, we have the other issue we were talking about previously. In the last hour, and I told you to expend on it, Deputy Chief to the White House staff, Stephen Miller, on what is happening with hiring forced labor.
We've begun the process of identifying the firms, the contractors that are engaged in this criminal activity, and you're going to begin to see a very severe crackdown. The early reports I've gotten on that are very promising. And then we also have begun in earnest implementing our banking integrity measures. So you may remember President Trump signed an executive order a few weeks ago saying that we are not going to allow illegal aliens to use banking services in this country. You know, contrary to popular perception, you know, the stupid phrase about illegal aliens living in the shadows. Illegal aliens don't live in the shadows. Illegal aliens have credit cards, they have bank accounts, and they're paid with direct deposit.
And it's all illegal. They're, quote, invaders. illegally in our country. And to that extent, Stephen Miller points out, President Trump did sign an executive order to try to shut down the banking services. By his executive order, the president made it clear that they would begin to shut it down, to meet with financial institutions, get them to cooperate to remove illegals from the banking system. By the way, you want somebody who should be getting paid? Those who helped build the Obama obelisk in Chicago, what an ugly-looking piece of heritage for Obama. Maybe it's appropriate when you stop and think about it. But there's a story that's been kind of buried by the leftist media because they don't want to admit it. Many of the contractors have never been paid, and the owner of a Chicago-based plumbing contractor said he has been stiffed his company for nearly $4 million for work they did on building the Obama building. They're not getting paid. He said, we've had to lay off 25 workers. He's filed a $1.7 million mechanics lien against the property, and of course, that's escalating into a legal fight. He's just one of several subcontractors to report financial trouble after working on the Obama Center. It's not a library. It doesn't have any official records there. It's just a recognition of Obama. So this stands as a giant debt. That's the reflection of Obama. That's pretty much what it is. In the meantime, Georgia is moving forward to bring more nuclear power to that state. Georgia Governor Kemp.
You know, some of the negative press and some of the, you know, anti-AI, anti-data center, really anti-everything groups that are out there. But just to simply tell people the truth, and in Georgia, we're very excited to have the first two new nuclear reactors in over 30 years. Georgia Power right now is increasing their capacity over 50%, and they're going to do that in just the next 5 or 6 years to make sure that we're supplying energy for the customers that are coming to our state. But the best thing is, as our power generation is going up, our rates are going down.
All in the state of Georgia. Now, of course, nuclear power is going to also involve artificial intelligence. Elon Musk, while endorsing AI, does admit there could be some legitimate issues in the near future.
I think AI may exceed the sum of human intelligence in around 5 years.
In 5 years?
Roughly 5 years is my guess. So there really won't be anything that AI can't do better than humans, apart from being human, perhaps.
In a more prosaic level, what will life be like?
The most likely outcome is an age of amazing abundance, where anyone can have anything they can think of. This may sound preposterous, but well, here we are in 2026. Let's see where we stand in 2036. Now, of course, there are things that could derail this, like a massive global thermonuclear war or something like that. But assuming that there's not World War III, I think we're headed for an age of amazing abundance. So this is, I guess, a message of optimism and excitement about the future.
Again, that's Elon Musk on what AI can do, but also you need to make sure you harness it to some extent, especially if you're looking at robotic AI-powered events. At some point, you might lose control of it. He's suggesting it could happen within 3 to 5 years. Human intelligence will basically be surpassed by AI robots, I should say. I can't say the guy's wrong. I can't say he's right, but he's obviously a visionary. We know that by his work. So is he sounding the alarm? Is he the canary in the coal mine at this point? Is anyone listening? He was doing this interview with The Economist and a reporter from London And then she raised this question.
You're sure that humans will no longer be in control in 10 years' time?
I think it is unlikely. In the same way that if you had a vastly more, like, you know, the, like if the difference in intelligence between AI and humans is vastly greater than the difference in intelligence between AI and chimpanzees, it's hard to imagine that the chimpanzees would be in charge.
I'm really struck by this.
And we are essentially an evolved form of chimpanzee. So it wasn't that long ago that we were swinging through the trees, eating bananas in the jungle. And we still eat bananas.
You said there was a 10 to 20% chance of killer robots wiping out humanity.
Yes.
So you sounded worried then. Now you seem very relaxed about it. Have you changed your view?
I still think there's risk associated with AI and robot.
Still a risk. Doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition, but for those of you who ever saw the original Planet of the Apes, and of course numerous sequels since then, we did revert back to that time and ancestry. Now, of course, this is all part of the Darwinian theory, and I'm not putting this up against the belief that we have a creator, God, and that we all evolved from monkeys. But the point being made that where we were just not that long ago, I've told you repeatedly also, you take a yardstick and you put a sesame seed at the very end of the yardstick. That is so small, we would really have to watch and look for that sesame seed. And keep that in mind. That sesame seed represents human civilization. When man first appeared on the earth, that sesame seed and everything on that yardstick prior to that recognizes the world before inhabited by man. And then look how far we've come. In our last hour, our story behind the story, if you missed it, pull up the podcast. We were talking about Apollo 11, bringing Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Chaffee back after men had walked on the moon planting the U.S. flag. Not that far distant from when Orville Wright brothers were turning bicycles into planes. Coming up, a closer look at data centers, what they are, what they aren't, what's the main concern? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Maguire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Maguire is a household name because Maguire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Maguire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beale to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and you've heard a lot of noise, and I say noise about data centers, but some of it might be valid, some might not be. Helping us understand it better, Jason Hayes with the Heritage Foundation on data centers, an expert. Jason, welcome aboard, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Let's begin with understanding exactly what is a data center.
Well, basically, I mean, most of them are large groups of servers, big computers that are all paired together to do some, you know, product or produce some product, whether it's teaching or training a large learning model or using the same sort of setup for what's called inference. Whenever we go on and we do a search on Grok or ChatGPT, it infers information from the question that we've asked and the things that it's learned. And so it's either training or inference primarily, but it's, again, big groups of computers all banded together to do a job.
And then there's a story that has been circulating around that these data centers, one, are hungry all the time for power, going to test our energy grids. They will send power bills soaring for everyone. Heat bills will be going up. Air conditioning bills will be going up. And, of course, they're using water. But now we have some that are closed circuit, so they're not drawing additional water. They're just cooling it and reusing it. But how legitimate are the issues Correct. About the power bills going up as they suck up the energy grid?
Well, the big thing with energy prices, the reason that a lot of people are seeing energy prices go up right now is primarily stuff that happened a few years ago when they were doing the net zero bills and trying to force everybody to stop using reliable and affordable forms of energy like fossil fuels and nuclear and trying to power the grid with wind and solar. So you have more expensive, less reliable energy that has come online and is starting to impact prices really now. Now, add on to that.
May I stop you 1 second? You said start to impact prices. Which direction? Up or down?
Oh, they're going up.
Okay.
They're definitely going up. So, wind and solar are more expensive, despite what you've heard, because you have to build a lot more of them because you can't tell when the wind's going to blow. You can kind of usually tell when the sun is going to shine, but if there's storms or clouds or something like that, that'll impact the solar's ability to produce electricity. But the intermittency that you have when you rely on wind and solar, because you can't tell when they're going to produce. You have to only use electricity when the wind's blowing or the sun is shining. That's one of the problems with them. Just they're inherently unreliable.
Well,
and for that reason, that's causing prices to go up.
All right. But data centers also can have the same unreliability and have to rely on backup diesel generators if there is something, the power grid that shuts off, correct? So, I mean, we're not completely de-escalating or rather detached from fossil fuel.
No, you absolutely are not. We still get about 80% of our electricity and overall energy use around the world still is 80% of fossil fuels. And so, yeah, we're definitely not getting off fossil fuels anytime soon, or nuclear. So they're here to stay.
All right, until, well, here to stay. Well, actually, some that were planned for here, like we had in St. Charles County, just north of St. Louis County, a decision by a company last year to decide we're not going to battle it. There's just too much opposition. Why so much opposition for something that supposedly looks like basically a Costco warehouse from a distance, and if it's not making any noise, not sucking up the water, and things of that nature, why is it such a fear?
Well, a lot of the time is because people don't understand what to expect. And that's not an attack on people. They just haven't been told. And so the companies that are producing or proposing to develop these data centers, one of the things they can do to make life easier for themselves is to just be transparent and go and talk to people. The more you help people understand what is going on, what's being proposed, the easier it'll be to, you know, have people kind of sign on and be advocates or at least be willing participants. So the companies really need to help educate the public about what's going on and how having a data center in your area could actually be beneficial.
I want to propose a very elementary analysis, and you tell me how this compares. When the automobile first appeared, everybody was saying, no, it's going to frighten horses. We're going to lose horses. Nobody's going to ride those darn contraptions. They're going to go away in time. And we're not like that right now. If we suddenly do not have the cloud, which the data centers represent, and all the information that's available, which we want at a finger's notice, then what happens to the populace?
Yeah, well, somebody's going to do it. And right now what we have is we're primarily competing against countries like China. China will do it if we don't, or if we don't do it first. So if you want, like, for example, your information stored in a server in, pick your favorite American city, you know, in Nashville or Memphis or something like that, or do you want it stored in a server in Beijing? Because it's going to happen, and people are still using this software, these online technologies. Even the people who claim to dislike data centers are still using Grok. They're still using ChatGPT. And whether or not they know it, their healthcare providers, their schools, their jobs, they're all using it too. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're out leading the charge in getting this done so that we know where the data is being used and how it's being used.
Back to my analogy, those who were opposed to those darn infernal combustible machines getting rid of horses, they started using them, and the horses are still here.
Yes. Yes. I mean, in a different way, obviously. But, horses are still around. And we're all quite happy to have our cars, especially on warm days when, you know, we have air conditioning. Whereas before, in a horse-drawn carriage, there was a little less comfort, I would say.
Now, again, I'm not trying to push on the audience one view or the other. But if you were trying to set them on a path that you think they should follow, or at least investigate more, what would you advise?
I would definitely say that the data centers overall will lead to, a lot of benefits for people. I mean, we've got papers coming out from the Heritage Foundation that say the research shows that large data centers will do like a 4-5% growth in employment in your area, increased wages and income growth, 6% in those areas. Well, initially, you might see small increases in electricity prices. As the data centers are built and these companies come in and start paying to increase the infrastructure, whether it's electricity or water and sewer or any of those sorts of things, you're going to actually see your prices mitigated for most people, because you'll be able as a citizen to start sharing some of that infrastructure with the companies that the companies are building. You had things like President Trump's ratepayer protection pledge that a lot of companies are signing on to now, where they've agreed that they're going to foot the bill for the electricity that they need to use or the water systems that they need to use. So all in all, it will work out better for the average person once these places come in.
Well, you put the carrot in front of some of everyone, but you also have the stick, the Red Scare.
The Red Scare with China, definitely. Again, if you're going to, I mean, the data centers are going to be built and people are going to be using these large learning models, whether it's Kimi from China or OpenAI here in the U.S. And again, do you want the Chinese Communist Party to have access to your data, or do you want it here stored in North America? I know where I'd prefer to have my data stored, because again, it's we're doing it, whether or not people like it, these things are happening. So again, I'd prefer to have my data stored domestically.
And of course, anytime you're dealing with data, there's always a possibility of theft and hacking.
Yes. And the Chinese government is well known for that. They, there are several, you know, federal government reports where Chinese governments are quite comfortable stealing intellectual property and using that to compete against American firms. And they're pretty darn good at it. Unfortunately for us, and again, I'd rather have American companies doing this than Chinese companies.
One final thing, I've only got, well, I won't even get into the question. You won't have time to answer it adequately. I'm not going to put you in that box, but I do want to thank you very much for your time today, Jason.
Sure, happy to help anytime.
All right, we'll do it again. Jason Hayes with the Heritage Foundation, dealing with data centers. What I was going to put in front of him, there are reports from the International Energy Agency that a typical AI data center would use as much electricity as 100,000 households, the largest under development, 20 times more. So where's the trade-off and what can be exchanged? We'll have to make that another subject. Coming up, what Trump is doing about Iran.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They got some evil intentions. We cannot let them have a nuclear weapon. If we did, all this that I'm talking about your data centers, isn't that important? When they start blowing away communities one by one, we cannot let them ever even think about having a nuclear weapon. And that's exactly what's happening. They'll never have a nuclear weapon.
Well, President Trump doubling down on the threat against Iran, posting on Truth Social that Iran will face major military punishment after the Houthis in Yemen claimed they targeted two Saudi oil tankers rocketing up oil. The president is also reportedly considering a major escalation against Iran, saying, quote, "I am considering a massive attack bigger than ever before. I'm close to making a decision. We are all set for it."
And in fact, if you're reading sources like The Hill, and of course I do that for you, it's a leftist standing publication. They're quick to point out that the hawks inside the Republican Party want Trump to get even tougher. To read it directly from The Hill for you, Republican defense hawks are urging Trump unleash major combat operations. All these coinciding with his rhetoric against the Islamic Republic, because they are not abiding by the deal they signed off on, and he signed off on. And, of course, the price of oil they bring back into play again, saying, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer because of Trump. Yeah, the oil prices are going to go up, and you're probably going to see it, according to some, when it comes to buying school supplies moving forward, gas, obviously, other things like that in the fall, and food, core prices, until this is resolved. Senate Armed Services Committee Chair Wicker, Mississippi, quoted in The Hill as saying he spoke to the president multiple times, referenced Iran, encouraging him to continue pounding the country. Negotiations apparently fruitless. Well, I certainly agree with that, and so does retired four-star general Jack King.
The path that we're on is pretty clear. Do we go back and do more negotiations with these folks? Or do we actually face reality in terms of the fact that what we have seen through negotiations, remember, negotiations actually began after we went to a ceasefire on April the 7th. Negotiations kicked in pretty much the next day. And for weeks after that, we tried to work a deal. And we actually did get a deal. And the president of Iran signed it, and the president of the United States signed it. And that in itself was an accomplishment that hasn't been done before, because in that deal there was only one agreement. All the tough issues were kicked down the road for 60 or more days, and it was open the Straits of Hormuz. And what happened? We removed our blockade, and what did they do? They refused to give up their control of the Straits and influence of it, and actually went so far as to fire on ships who were not obeying their orders. What they expected out of that was negotiation team to come back and huddle again to work out future compromises, etc. But what did they get? They miscalculated once again. Yeah. President Trump was not going to stand for that. It was a violation of the deal that he signed.
And he signed it and expected them to abide by it, knowing they probably wouldn't, but he's trying to show good faith on our side. And the deal that was kicked 60 days down the road was, we'll deal with your nuclear ambition 60 days down the road, but let's open up the strait. You quit firing on ships going through there. We'll back off our naval blockade. We're currently still blocking Iranian ports. Nothing comes in or out of them. And all because they would not honor their side just on that memorandum of understanding. It was not a final deal. And if they were going to get some of the money back, which Trump admits we're holding it, belongs to them, but we're still holding it, and they're not going to get any of it until they meet certain criteria. Well, they figured, oh, well, we got a signature on there. We can go ahead and just do what the hell we want. No, you can't. Recalculating. It's not going to go down that way. And Secretary of State Rubio says Iran just is not ready.
You know, guys, I saw Araghchi, their foreign minister, who the other day say or something about their policies, an eye for an eye. The president's policy is a head for an eye. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, that's what it's going to be. I mean, they will pay a very heavy price for the things they're doing. They're already paying a very heavy price. You guys don't know it because you don't cover it. You're not in Iran. You're not in the street. They don't have a free media. But they're going to continue to pay a very heavy price. Their industrial base has been decimated. Their defense industrial base has been decimated. They're losing launchers. They're losing radars every single night. They are suffering billions of dollars in damage, and their economy is a disaster. But despite all that, okay, these people who are calling us every day begging, let's do a deal. They send us messages through other countries, third countries. I mean, they're running out of countries to send. Even I had countries here coming up to me. Oh, I just spoke to the Iranians. They want to do a deal. The problem is, every time these people do a deal, they either break it or after they make it, they want to change the deal.
Yeah.
So they're probably not ready to do a deal yet, but they will be soon because the price they're paying is very high despite their tough talk and their flowery language and their stupid Lego videos they put out. I've never seen them, but they put these things out on social media. Despite all that bravado, they are suffering tremendously, and they're going to suffer more until they come to their senses. They're not there yet, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, those who are really suffering are the Iranian citizens. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard and its leadership, they're not suffering. So they don't mind the people suffering. And they're going to continue to flex their muscles as long as they can. Take note of this. Are you listening? Go to the European theater and our NATO alliance. A Romanian F-16 fighter shot down a drone that entered Romanian airspace without authorization. This is the first time a NATO member has intercepted and destroyed a drone inside its national airspace. Romanian officials not yet identifying the origin or the purpose, but it entered their airspace. Now, of course, a lot of this is repeated air breaches along the eastern flank have been fueled by concerns with Russia's war in Ukraine could spill across NATO borders. Romania borders Ukraine. So we're not sure if that was actually where it was supposed to go, but it got inside Romanian airspace. They're not going to take a chance. And we, as signatories to NATO, basically, if a NATO country is under attack, we are obligated under our NATO agreement to join in that. Russia does not want us getting into that. So I'm not sure that Russia would be responsible for intentionally flying a drone into Romania and what the target would have been, or if it's just crossing the border only to turn around and go back into Ukraine out of Romania. But take note of that. It could develop more over the weekend. Earlier this week, Senator Rand Paul releasing documents regarding the authors of the so-called proximal origins of COVID-19. If you recall that story, and you would not have seen this on the mainstream media, but my boots on the ground, Andrew, pointed this out to me on the Hot Air publication. It deals with conservative views. I always want to give you the basis for it. But it's talking about the authors who were on Anthony Fauci's radar because they'd contacted him back during the COVID days expressing concerns that the virus was engineered, had been weaponized. But within days, Fauci had assigned them to the production of a paper stating the opposite. They agreed. They bent down and agreed. He got it published in Nature and then edited it himself to make it even stronger. Then Fauci pretended not to know who produced the paper when it came out. He did. They were all discussing the dangerous COVID gain-of-function research and denying China was involved. even joking that the national press media liberal legacy would be open for them. Arguing that COVID might have come out of lab, we're primarily discussing what a S show could be run by Wuhan colleagues, so they just stood by and let it happen. The latest document stating that they obviously lied to the public, concealed their roles in it. And the Hot Air article states, this is a scandal for the ages, and we have not yet gotten the full accounting we deserve. And I agree. And Fauci is going to be going back before Congress. He has a presidential pardon that Obama gave him. But that's only for what he did previously. They get him in front of Congress. They catch him in another lie, perjuring himself. The gloves are off. And I want that man to be held accountable on every way possible. Then you also look at what's happening in our nation right now, how the left has been hijacked by the far, far yokels. And you're losing whatever common sense might have been there inside the Democrat Party. And there are a lot of Democrats I could agree with on some points. But there are even Democrats inside their own tent that now acknowledge these people coming in, they're not Democrats. They make it clear we are Democrat socialists. We are different than you. We are better than you. But what about that common sense issue? What's right? What's wrong? White House Chief of Staff Miller.
Trust your instincts. To all people and across all civilizations, you know what normal is. You know what beautiful is. You know what good is. You know that families are right. You know that children are precious and beautiful and must be protected. You know that the criminal and the junkie and the predator is a threat to normal, healthy living. This is so much deeper than issues about taxation and regulation, although they're incredibly important. It's about normal, healthy, ordered living.
Yeah. Common sense. You care about your children. I care about my neighbor's children. And so should you. But the DSA does not care about anything but their goals, and that is to destroy Western civilization. And one Democrat, Senator John Fetterman, Pennsylvania, he's a great supporter of Israel. And he points out on one of his social media tags, Israel keeps killing Hamas members. Democrat socialists are crying even harder. And he's right. They start calling out genocide, genocide, when they've been the ones carrying that out. The IDF had stated the terrorists that we took out had advanced terrorist attacks targeting Israeli Defense Forces and Israeli civilians. We know exactly that's what they have been doing. They did it back in that October date, and they would do it again. And we had word this week from an ex-CIA agent who claims we know there are at least 1,800 Islamist terrorists inside our nation now. And their next plot is to take down more planes, not fly them into a building, but get aboard with explosives and blow planes out of the sky. Our security forces, TSA, and whatever we have in play, they must be right every single day. The terrorists only need to be right once to cause a havoc. And if on a particular day more than one plane blow up in the sky, you can imagine the terror that would grip the nation. And the DSA basically stands side by side with Hamas, and we've got members of Congress that do the same thing. Ilhan Omar, I'm talking to you and others. You know exactly. That would include AOC, but apparently now some of the left thinks that inside the DSA, she is not far left enough. Are you getting that? AOC is no longer considered as radical. Bernie Sanders, not so radical in their view. Fetterman said, and I'm quoting him here, these DSA people are deeply anti-Israel, deeply anti-American. He said, I will always be the last man standing when the Democratic caucus in the Senate goes pro-unapologetically defending Israel. I'll be there. Israel is our special guy, our ally, and I'm proud to stand with them. And he said, I will leave the Democrat Party if it ever officially becomes the anti-Israeli party. And Republicans have already made it clear, our party is open for you. You're welcome to come in. He wants to stay in the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party as he knew it. But now it's hijacked. And there's been an evolution that had started years and years ago. Let me read you three quotes here from a political campaign ad of 1992. End welfare as we know it. Bring back the death penalty. Cut spending and lower taxes. You know who was making those statements in his campaign? Bill Clinton and campaigning with Al Gore in 92. End welfare as we know it. Bring back the death penalty. Cut spending and lower taxes. That was their campaign ad. That would be considered far right today, certainly by the Democrat Socialist. And even some of the standard Democrats, they might not want to really call it far right, but they don't want to also endorse and acknowledge it. Yeah, that's where we were in 92. Look where we are today. That's a short span of time, my friend. And that was before the DSA got its hooks deep into the Democrat Party. They've been around since the 80s. In the last 3 to 4 years, they have been ramping up. Their teeth are bared, and they're clutching and biting into anything they can. Our nation. Stand tall, stand and fight. Right? As always, I thank you for listening. We always appreciate you sharing this program with others via the podcast or just telling them. And I appreciate you just calling sponsors and saying thank you for supporting patriotic radio, conservative radio. Larry Connors USA and News Talk STL. Enjoy your weekend. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.